We're moving on, as Sky introduced, we're moving on to Palestine. Certainly the crux of many of the problems, the crucible of many of the problems. Before we hear from a speaker, let's have a look at one or two images from Palestine. We'll call today at that point. There are more images, but we cannot just show them at this moment. What has been happening in Palestine is that quite a number of years ago, a group of people made a country there. They'd suffered from a Holocaust, and now those people are, to a large extent, repeating their experiences on the other side. And we know what is happening. And our next speaker certainly knows what is happening, because Jocelyn Herndl's son, Tom, is certainly a victim of the abuse that is happening today. He was in Rafah, and to tell us more about Tom, what he stood for, and what happened to him, I'd ask you please to welcome Mrs. Jocelyn Herndl.
My son Tom, age 21, was shot by an Israeli soldier in Rafah, Gaza, last spring while shepherding children to safety. He died from his injuries on the 13th of January this year after spending 10 months in a coma. When we travelled out to Palestine, we were determined to remain objective, looking at the facts only, as did Tom. I feel acutely close to so many families who've lost loved ones in the Middle East, in Palestine, and this morning I've met Heidi. So many people have absolutely no access, as we've heard repeatedly this morning, no access to any inquiry whatsoever. Truth, at a deep level, is what the family's fundamental requirement was, and what we sought from the Israelis from the moment we arrived in Israel, in Palestine, I should say. However, never could we have imagined the scale of inhuman disinterest on the part of the Israeli authorities. The obtuse and immoral, even evident obstructiveness we experienced is bewildering, to say the least, and not what any of us would have expected of a supposedly democratic, civilized state. The Israelis would not talk to us, made no contact, and absolutely no attempt to discuss any aspect of Tom's shooting, following our repeated requests to meet with the Israeli authorities through the British Embassy and the media. They finally agreed to meet with us on precisely the day that we had planned to bring Tom home. And so the day on which we planned to bring Tom home had to be delayed, and that was difficult enough to organise because we had to find a time when Tom was relatively without infection. Anthony, Tom's father, began the meeting with the Israelis by stating we wanted the absolute truth regarding Tom's shooting, and we challenged the grossly untruthful and unprofessional field report produced by the Israeli Defense Force major, stating that Tom had been wearing army fatigues and shooting a gun in the air, a far cry from the reality of the professional photographs and of 14 eyewitness statements recording Tom's fluorescent orange jacket in internationally recognized clothing worn while he was rescuing children. No official apology or statement of regret was given by Israel, and this contrasted harshly with the immediate British apology and steps taken by the UK following the atrocious actions of the British suicide bomber in Tel Aviv. The difference was extremely stark. The lack of Israeli reciprocity was indeed stark, in that there seemed to be no appreciation of the necessity of an apology, let alone a public statement in Israel, if just for the sake of diplomatic relations between our two countries. Much later, we received a letter of sympathy, but not apology, from the Israeli ambassador. Tom died as we were on the point of asking him if he would come and visit him in hospital. The soldier who shot Tom was using a high-velocity rifle at short range with the benefit of an advanced telescopic lens. The shot that killed Tom entered his forehead, and according to ballistic evidence experts, it was undoubtedly a precision shot intended to kill. Yet, the soldier who has been indicted is indicted for manslaughter and not murder. The soldier who has been indicted, having confessed to the killing, has also claimed, along with his other colleagues from his unit, that he was being hung out to dry, that he was being made a scapegoat. His colleagues say that he was only following orders. Now, if their protest has any truth in it, it is to confirm our suspicions that the killing of Tom was just one example of many unlawful killings that take place regularly in the occupied territories without any accountability. It raises a number of crucial questions which underline the enormous catalogue of killings and injuries of non-combatants in the occupied territories for which no one is being held accountable. After months of promises of openness and transparency, we eventually learned that we would not be given access to crucial evidence contained in the military police inquiry. We know it contains 5 differing statements by the soldier and testimonies of his colleague in the tower, who has also been indicted for falsification of testimony and for perverting the course of justice. The evidence should contain important ballistic and forensic evidence. It should contain CCTV footage and recordings of the unit radio broadcasts at the time of the shooting. Tom himself took a photograph of the watchtower, on which there is a clear picture of a CCTV camera. It's been denied that CCTV footage was being taken. We're told that apparently the camera was pointing into Egypt. We have now achieved only partial breakthrough in gaining some access to whatever evidence there is. In May this year, through our lawyers, we challenged the Israeli state prosecution in respect of its decision not to release the crucial evidence contained in the military police inquiry report. Our lawyers argued that there is a moral and legal obligation that whatever evidence has been collected which has led to the indictment of the soldier for manslaughter should be made available to an independently tested person, to a person who can independently test it. This, they argued, would be in line with the spirit of the consistent promises of openness and transparency made by representatives of the Israeli army and representatives of the Israeli government, including Ariel Sharon himself. The current situation is that the state prosecution has been forced to take steps to make all the evidence available to our lawyers. Sight of the evidence will be limited to our lawyers only and will not be directly available to us, Tom's family, so that we can scrutinise it. The state prosecution has argued that this is to prevent a media trial. However, our lawyers have to leave the courtroom when it is hearing key parts of the evidence of the soldier and the commander of the unit, and it is precisely these parts that contain precisely what we would like to hear. They will contain evidence to do with the rules of engagement and the extent to which this particular soldier, the whole of his unit, let alone Israeli policy, are responsible for the murder of Tom. Transcripts of these sections will not be available to our lawyers, to anybody outside, the court, judiciary, people involved, particularly in the court. It is precisely these parts in which there will be evidence given which would have a bearing on, as we see it, the systemic problems in the Israeli army, the culture of impunity. The lawyers will seek to address 3 crucial issues. Is the current indictment against a soldier for manslaughter, the appropriate indictment, or should the indictment be changed to murder? Are there others who should be indicted in relation to the incident leading to the death of Tom? And are there systemic causes which led to the fatal shooting of Tom? And does responsibility for his death rest also with those higher up the chain of command? In the meantime, my younger son, Billy, aged 19, who planned to attend the trial, received notification from the Israeli Ministry of the Interior that he would not be allowed to enter Israel with no rational reason given. We assume it is because Billy came out with the family and entered the occupied territories to see the situation for himself. No more, no less. He will not be able to attend the trial of the man who shot his brother. 2 weeks ago, we attended a pre-inquest hearing with the Camden coroner, Dr. Reed. Although the Israelis are signed up to the European Convention of Mutual Assistance, the coroner is extremely aggrieved at the level of cooperation on the part of the Israelis. There is a clear lack of reciprocity in terms of disclosure of information. The Israelis are refusing to provide the coroner, a British coroner, an independent judicial authority, with the documentation and evidence requested on the basis that apparently he has no formal right to require this under the European Convention of Mutual Assistance. It's a technicality. A reading of the legislation regarding disclosure of information in the most overly technical and pedantic terms. There isn't an international body in the land, in the world, that would raise objections to a coroner's request for information. It is quite extraordinary, given that the Israelis themselves requested from the coroner information through informal channels and received it. For them to be insisting on this technical point, having received information from him in this way, is bad faith. It is impossible to separate out what happened to Tom with what happens every day at the moment to Palestinian families. I think the best thing that anybody can possibly do is to go out there and see for themselves. Tom wrote journals while he was out in Iraq, Jordan, and Palestine. I shall end with a quote from his journals, where he describes a young girl. And when I read it now, I think of the young girl who was shot just the other day on her way to school, and another young girl who was shot in her classroom. The first little girl had her body riddled with gratuitous bullets by an Israeli commander of the unit in the Khan Yunis refugee camp in Rafah. In her stubborn face was something I can't explain. It opened up a reality that I had only imagined and never experienced. Already she had gone through more than most of us in England would ever experience, and it showed in a steel and courage in her eyes, yet still innocent and curious, but refusing to cry. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jocelyn. Some of you may have heard the other day that late night play on the radio. One or two heard it? Again, quoting from Tom's diary, some memorable parts came out. "I feel I want to have achieved something in this life," he wrote, and he has achieved it. Thank you again, Jocelyn. I'm now going to ask you to welcome Ava